Yeah, that's the. I was telling Wally that I was playing the piano at our church when I was just, and I've been playing there ever since I was knee high to whatever. That was our invitation that night. That was the invitational song, and I went. That's the night I gave my heart to the Lord. I was playing that song, and the organist was piano and organ. We were playing together, So anyway, that song's special to me, Rayanne, very special. I love that. And then plus, musically, you can just fool around with it all over the place. And yeah, that makes it fun too. So Wally, I appreciated what you said tonight in your prayer about the body of Christ around the world. And I'm very blessed because two of the kids that were in my youth group at World Gospel when I came here in 1971, they both work in ministries that are in touch with countries around the world. One's in Bible translation. He's a programmer, and the other one is going around and training leaders in churches around the world how to do church and how to disciple. But anyway, I was just having dinner the other night with one. And in Iran right now, Christianity is exploding. And they need to come up with translations in about 60 different languages. That's just in Iran. So it's, you know, and they said it's also happening in other places and among the Muslims. But anyway, that's all public knowledge because they talked about it in the meeting and everything. And so I'm sharing that. Sometimes when you're talking about Muslims, you don't share everything because you can put people in danger. But anyway, isn't that exciting that in Iran that it's exploding? Like he said, we can't keep up with the demand for scriptures there. Well, I know this morning that Pastor Dave spoke on Luke 21 and the end times events and the things that will be occurring, and he unpacked Luke 21, and here we go. And so I just wanted to kind of dovetail a little bit with that, because obviously what's recorded in Luke 21, what's going to be happening, those are going to be difficult times. And for those people living at that time, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be very hard and we can see kind of the foreshadowing of these times that are taking place now. And the events that are happening in our country and other countries of the world, you and I will have to be prepared spiritually to take our stand for the kingdom of God. And that's one of the things, having my friends who are involved in world ministries like they are, and then studying the voice of the martyrs that you all probably have heard about too, and read their materials. If you're going to be a Christian in some parts of the world, you've really got to have your act together. And you got to know what you know and believe what you believe and be willing to die for it. One man, I was speaking with the president of Unfolding Word, the Bible translation ministry. And he travels almost he's in a different country every week. He really has a grueling travel schedule. But he said every time, no matter what country I go into, I hear about somebody who's been killed for their faith. And he said it's just a part of it. Well, you and I we're seeing that happen. And we're around the world, and we don't know what's going to be happening here. But God, through his son Jesus, has gone to great lengths to provide for you and me to be able to stand in the day of distress that the pastor spoke about this morning. He's given us everything we need to equip us and strengthen us to stand against the tide of evil and ungodliness that we see going on in our country. And he's also equipped the believers around the world who are being persecuted. And he's equipped us with everything. And when we see stuff going on politically and economically and militarily and morally, we know that he's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then you take all the stuff that's going on in our country and our world, and you add the fact that our individual lives, we have our own stuff to deal with, don't we? Difficult relationships in our friends and families, and financial pressures and health issues, losses and regrets, and seeing our family members who are buying into the current woke culture. Well, with all that going on, we got our personal stuff, we got our country stuff, and we have the world stuff, and it's like, we've got to determine how we're going to live. We really need to know in this world, we have to know how we're going to, what we're going to believe, how we're going to live. And right now, I just read 2 days ago that Gallup has come up with some new research talking about that fewer people believe the Bible is the Word of God than ever in the history of this country. That's a Gallup survey. And also fewer people have a biblical worldview than ever before. Okay, with all that then, what's our hope? As followers of Christ, we choose to live and think according to a biblical worldview. And so, in my opinion, then our worldview, if we're going to live by that, and we're going to choose to stand against the current, then we better know what are the facts that form the foundation of our faith. And what is it that God has set in place to explain this world? What's the plan that he has to rescue us? Who is he? How are you and I going to stand with our faith? How are we going to live in this world and not be swallowed up by it? And so I'm going to get into that a little bit. The scripture where I'm going tonight, Dave was in Luke 21. I'm going to be over in Luke 24. And it's going to be at the end of Luke 24. I'm going to start with verse 50 there in just a little while. Not right. It's going to take me a few moments. Then we'll read that. And then I'm going over to Acts 1. And we'll be in Acts chapter 1. And both books are written by Luke. And really, Acts is a continuation of Luke in many ways. But our hope is in the work of salvation through Jesus Christ, right? That's where we hang our hat. That's where we hang our lives. Well, Luke 21 gives us the details, just like you studied this morning, of what's going to happen. But in Luke 22, 23, and 24... lay out the events of God's plan for the redemption of the world. And he does that. He takes us all the way through the events leading up to the cross, the resurrection, and some of the appearances of Jesus after the resurrection. So we have the cross, the resurrection, the appearances of Jesus to his disciples and followers. And I'd like to discuss tonight real briefly two events that follow what I just outlined. There are two events that follow the cross, the resurrection, and the appearances of Jesus. There are two more events that are critical to you and me standing in this culture, I believe. We don't talk much about these events that come after the cross, but we do mention them. But after the cross and the resurrection, there are two critical events that are essential to the completion of Jesus' messianic mission on this earth. And these two events are essential to you and me having hope and having the empowerment to stand against evil in this age. At the end of Luke 24 in verse 50, we see a very important set of verses. As I said, those verses then lead over to the first chapter of Acts, and we'll get to those. But the two events are the ascension of Jesus. The day that Jesus ascended from earth to heaven. Now, we celebrate that every year. Again, in our tradition, we don't honor it that much, But it's called Ascension Day. And this year we remembered it on May 26th. And according to Scripture, it's 40 days after Jesus' resurrection. 40 days after his resurrection, the Bible tells us that he ascended from the earth to heaven. The second event is one that you've heard more about, and that's called Pentecost Sunday. And that's celebrated on June 5th of this year, 50 days after the resurrection. And that's the day, of course, the Holy Spirit came upon the earth and the disciples, and he came to live in the disciples and ultimately to live in you and me. They represent two events out of a detailed plan that God has put in place to give us redemption and hope and promise of eternity and a power to endure and a perspective that lifts us from the current circumstances, helps us to see the kingdom view of how God has a plan and he's in charge and who he is, and that you and I don't have to get swallowed up with the circumstances of this life. As I said, Ascension Day is 40 days after. Remarkable day. One scholar put it this way. He said the climax of Christ's earthly life was not his victorious resurrection, as important as that is. I mean, that's critical. But his ascension, his bodily transition from earth to heaven to rule and to reign from God's right hand, that's the climax. I had a mentor, Dr. Robert Weber. He used to say this. We often hear phrases like the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus is the heart of the gospel. But he said, it seems to me that's only part of the gospel story. Essential as it is, it's part. Practically speaking, if there had been no ascension, Jesus would still be walking around on this earth somewhere, and his mission would not be yet completed. Luke tells us that the ascension occurred when he was talking to his disciples on the Mount of Olives. His earthly ministry was finished. He's giving his final words. He's talking to the disciples, and he's taken up into the air. Let's go over to verse 20, or chapter 24 of Luke and verse 50. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, Bethany's on the foot of the Mount of Olives, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them, the disciples. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Now we go from Luke's gospel, in which he closes with the ascension, to Luke's writing over to Acts chapter 1. If you'll flip over there to chapter 1 of Luke, we're going to start in the first verse. In the book of Luke, he says in the previous letter, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them by many proofs after he had been crucified, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking to them about the kingdom of God. And while meeting with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, about which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now drop down to verse 8 with me. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight. And while they were looking intently at the sky as he was going up, suddenly two men dressed in white garments stood beside them and said, Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking at the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will return the same way that you just saw him go up into heaven. After the ascension, then, so we see him go up. And after the ascension, Scripture tells us Jesus begins his ministry of interceding for you and me. Romans 8:34 says, Christ who died, he was raised to life, he's at the right hand of the God, and he's interceding for us. He's praying for you and me. Now, somehow, I think we want that somehow to get into our hearts and mean something. I think it's a little difficult. You know, why should I be happy about him interceding for me? Well, he's interceding. Does that mean he knows us that well that he could intercede for us? Intercessors that I've known, they know me very well. He's interceding. He knows us. He sees us. You see, what's important here is Jesus' absence. He was no longer here. He was now with the Father. Remember when Stephen was stoned? Over in Acts 7, he said, I looked up and I saw heaven open and the Son of Man was standing at the right hand of God. Stephen's vision tells us where Jesus was. So he's absent from here, but he's present with God. For us, ascension is about absence. He's not here. That's how he fulfilled his ministry. But for Christ, his ascension was his homecoming. Paul wrote this. He said, God raised Christ from the dead and seated him at God's right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Daniel said, hundreds of years ago, Daniel said, I saw Jesus, he called him the Son of Man, and he was ascending in chapter 7 of Daniel. I looked, and before me was the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven, and he approached the Ancient of Days, that's God, and he was led into his presence, and he was given authority and glory and power over all peoples and nations and every language, and men of every language worshiped him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, and it will not pass away. How do we stand against the tide of evil that we're seeing around this world? See, there's our assurance. When you and I face what's going on, and we know what's happening, coming in the future, we know who's in charge. It may not look that way, but we know the world does not see it, but by the fact of Scripture, we build our faith because we do know who's in charge. No matter how it's looking out there, we know who's in charge. And when God called up Jesus, he returned to the Father, there was shouting in heaven. When Jesus came back to heaven, the scripture tells us, Psalm 47 said, God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord among the sounding of the trumpets. Heaven lit up when Jesus ascended. The heavenly beings rejoiced, and Jesus took his place on the throne. The work of redemption was complete, and he's now in charge of all things. All things. You think, here's the one who's in charge of all things, and also the hairs on our head are numbered. If he knows me that well, is that important that he's in charge of everything and knows my hair on my head and he knows me? Does that mean anything? And I think we have to decide, does it mean something or does it not? That the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the one who died for all of the earth in redemption and God put him in charge of everything, does that mean something? We have a decision to make. Does it mean something? Or do we act like everybody else who's eaten up with this circumstantial view? Or are we able to lift our eyes up? And this is where the warfare is. We have to fight to lift up. But does it mean something that he's in charge? The work of redemption is complete. And what's the reason for the ascension to be such an important part of the gospel? Well, because you and I are rescued because of the ascension. He's King of Kings, no one's greater. You and I belong to a kingdom where you and I have behind us the kingdom of God, and there is no greater kingdom in this universe than the kingdom of God. One scholar wrote it this way. He says, the theological significance of the ascension of Jesus, if he's not on the right hand of God the Father, then he does not reign. If he is not ascended and sitting at the right hand of God, then we have no king. We have no intercessor. We have no ruler. You and I are left here. We're left in pretty bad shape. But we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He had to return from earth to heaven to sit at the right hand of God and to prepare a place. Here's the hope. You know, I have recently lost such a dear friend, a 50-year dear friend. And one of the things he said was, he said this to me constantly, great man of God, I miss him. I want him to be on the other end of the phone when I call him, but he's not there anymore. But he said, Jesus went away, and he said, in my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would tell you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And he said, I go to prepare a place that where I am, you may be also. And my friend that went away, he said, I'm going to a place. He said, my wife gets the mansion. Because Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, but I go to prepare a place. My wife gets the mansion, but I'll get the place. And he said, that's okay. I think I'm going to like it there. Oh, my folks, he ascended that you and I have a future in another world. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. No matter what it looks like, he's ruler of this world, even though full of evil. But he's promised us a place that where he is, we may be also. He ascended so that you and I have a future. Now, if we go over to the next day that I talked about, that was the day of Pentecost. And it's another marvelous day. At ascension, we celebrate the great divine absence. Jesus' own words tells us, because he went away, he says, the Holy Spirit has come upon all believers. Over in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says this. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came, and I lost my place. Suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributing themselves, and they rested upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is a defining once-in-a-lifetime event when the Holy Spirit becomes the ultimate provision of the spiritual substance of all of us, of our walk with the Lord. Because of his absence, the Holy Spirit has come. Without his absence, the Holy Spirit doesn't come. But the Holy Spirit comes to empower you, and Jesus is with you and me forever. The law in the Old Testament was on the outside, and it was so hard to fulfill. But the Holy Spirit is within us, and it empowers us. And it empowers us to fight the temptations and the evil, and it helps us to fight not getting sucked into everything that's happening in this crazy world of ours right now. We don't have to get stuck here where circumstances suck us up and take our life and cause us to get into the chaos like everybody else who have no hope. You and I have hope. The Holy Spirit lives within us. We're empowered to live on the kingdom view. Oh, because the Holy Spirit has come. He's come to deliver us. The Holy Spirit has come. And because the Holy Spirit's come, you and I are sitting here tonight. The Holy Spirit came and the church was founded. Acts 2:33, the Holy Spirit's poured out and those who accepted Peter's message were baptized. 3,000 were added to their number that day. Because the Holy Spirit's come, we have church. Because the Holy Spirit's come, we have a comforter and a counselor. Because the Holy Spirit has come, the New Testament has been written. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no New Testament. John 14 says, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said unto you. Because the Holy Spirit has come, there is righteousness. Jesus said, if I do go away, then I will send the Holy Spirit to you. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Without the ascension, no righteousness. Because the Holy Spirit has come, we have heard of Paul. Because the Holy Spirit has come, we have heard of Matthew, Mark, Luke, Paul, Timothy, Titus. We go on. The ascension impacts everything in the Christian doctrine. Jesus has come. He was crucified, dead, and buried. He is alive. He's risen from the dead. And he's ascended and sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And he is waiting instructions for the Father to say, go. Go get him and bring him back. Jesus is waiting. Jesus doesn't even know when the hour is when God's going to say, go get him. But one day, if you and I are still here, the rapture can't be far away, can it? Whenever that time comes, what a hope. But one day, that trumpet will sound, and we'll be gone in the twinkling of an eye. Here's what I have to remind. I had to do it this morning because of some things that I'm working with. The world system is not in charge. It's not the final word. It's not ultimately the final judge. Oh, it looks like it's winning. But the victory ultimately and will belong to the King of Kings. He has shouted. He has ascended with a mighty shout. The trumpets were blaring. The angels were singing praises to God. And we're invited to sing praises to our King. For Jesus is King over all the earth. Now Acts chapter 1 finishes. It tells us that Christ is going to descend to earth one more time just as he was taken up. Remember the voice? Remember what the men in white said there when Jesus ascended? He's coming back. And that will be the grandest ascension of all. Those who are dead will be caught up. Those who are alive will be caught up. The grandest ascension of all, one in which all will ascend to the mighty blast of the invitation of God. Well, you and I have reason for a lot of hope, don't we? He wants us to be near him. Even when things look hard and things look difficult, he wants us to center up on him. And he's given us everything. He's gone to such great lengths to provide you and me with everything we need to do things his way, to have the godly attitude, to have that way of dealing with things that says, I'm not going to do it the way the world's going to do it. I'm not going to get sucked up with the values of this world. I belong to a different world. I belong to a different kingdom. I will not buy into everything that's going on. My temper won't get the best of me. There was a concert, last night, was it? Or two nights ago, in some place. And because of lightning, storm, and thunder, they canceled the main act. And people went ape crazy, throwed bottles up on the stage and just went crazy. I mean, they went crazy. They destroyed the place. That's the age we're in. Somebody shot a person at McDonald's because they didn't get their order right. You see, you and I belong to a different kingdom. Hallelujah. He's done everything to keep you and me out of the muck and the mire. Hallelujah. Victory in Jesus. Oh, and the other songs we sang were so rich in their lyric. This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Let's remember our two important days, and let's not forget them and the great plan of his redemption. Let's remember the cross, absolutely. Let's remember the resurrection, absolutely. Let's remember that his appearances to his disciples and his followers after his resurrection. He never appeared to the government leaders. He didn't care about them. He said, there's no power there. He went to his followers. He never appeared to anybody but his disciples and his followers. And then after that, then he ascended. And he ascended, and then 10 days later, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit came. Amen. You want me to pray now, or how do you want to end here tonight? Okay. Well, Lord, here's a prayer that a friend of mine wrote when we were talking about the ascension, and he wrote this prayer. He said, Revelation puts forth your everlasting reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And my friend went on to say, Lord, I'm looking forward to a wonderful rule I've never known or experienced. I have no concept what it's going to be like to be with you. Never has there been a king like you. Never has there been jealousy in you or evil plots or corruption or rivals. That's not in you. You're our glorious Lord to whom we sing praises. And he went on to say, thank you, Lord, for adopting us into your kingdom as citizens and heirs. We sing praise unto our King. Amen.